It's Hughie. Hello and shalom, everybody. That's right. Why did I say that? But today on the show, we have got the brilliant Shuley Egger. You may know him best from his times of the Howard Stern show. He's now got his own show that he's out promoting. He's working on that stand-up of the comedy with the knock-knocks and the monologues and all that stuff. He is today's guest on a very good interview, and I meant to say episode. As you may have noticed over the last few episodes of this, I do not edit out audio flubs. I completely wanglined it. I make a real ham bone out of myself, and I absolutely don't give a Martin. But more on that in a minute. It is time for the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to see the video version of tonight's interview, you get to see the lovely smiles between myself and Shuley. Well, go check out Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. At the time of recording this, we are so close to 10,000 subscribers that it's unfair. We're finally hitting that goal that I aim for. Please go subscribe, leave comments, drop likes, all kinds of stuff. If you think it sucks, write that you think it sucks, because all comments help the view count, and that's all that matters to me. Speaking of which, if you happen to be a fan of professional wrestling, go check out Kingdom 100 Official. That's the official YouTube channel for the legendary podcast hosted by Conan Disco Inferno. At the time of recording this, we are well over 13 million views. We are well over, every time I get to this part, I fuck it up, and I always say I'll do a wangling joke, but I'm actually getting bored of those jokes. But I'm going to keep this in anyway, because I just acknowledged the flub. Over 13 million views. We are, at the minute, over 25,000 subscribers. And it seems to be going to 26 very soon. Thank you. And again, leave comments, drop likes, all kinds of shit. If you want to contact me on social media, I'm at Hughie on Twitter, at Hughie on Instagram. But if you want to leave me a message and you expect me to reply, then leave it on the YouTube comment section. There are quite a frustrating rise in people who are DMing me about YouTube stuff. That means you're a fucking idiot, okay? Because there's a comment section on YouTube. That's where you're supposed to leave. Now wait for it. Your comments. So if you fucking watch something I upload and you DM me, you're a fucking idiot, and that's what it is, and there's no debate and there's no discussion. You officially are a fucking dumb cunt. Anyway, don't forget to add me on social media and check out my Amazon wishlist. Nobody buys me nothing despite all the joy that I bring you, scum, and I want what I want. And I have to say that any and all music clips you may hear within this episode, well, in my personal opinion, they're all 5-star brilliant, and I wouldn't use them if I didn't think they were anything less than 5 stars. And if you want to own them songs and you want to support those artists, you can buy them from all good official music stores and streaming sites. So thank you, and the plugs are over. Okay, so at the time of recording this intro, I just interviewed Shuley like 30 minutes ago. Very, very happy with it. I knew he was funny, but I didn't realize he was going to be so quick off the ball. Pretty open and honest. We had a great, great interview. But before we get to that, as many people know, I'm not only part of this show, I'm not only working for Keeping It 100 Official, I'm also one of the OG members of Get My Go, the hilarious podcast parody review show. Nobody puts more work into Get My Go than the lovely and talented Mike Durban. And me and Mike like to talk every once in a while about film releases, because we're real snobs and our opinions are held so highly that we expect people to tune in to watch our reviews, despite the fact that neither me or Mike work in the film industry. That's how obnoxious we are there, man. That's how fucking pathetic we are there, man. And we might actually start live streaming it like a pathetic group of fucking rejects from Hicktown, USA. But anyway, let's talk about some superhero stuff. Mike Durban, hello. You know, cinema is always infamous for their sequels, and there's no bigger sequel than, well, Iron Man 2. So, Mike Durban, what do you think of Iron Man 2?
Mickey Rourke was great.
I thought this went way longer than I expected it to be. I hope that it doesn't get us kicked off Zoom. Well, how about a plug?
You can check out the Mike Durban Show on the Creative Control Network, where it's not one feed, it's many feeds. Every show has their own feed.
Okay, thank you, Durban, and do not forget to go check out Get My Go on YouTube, which of course is the video version. We get to see all the heavily edited production that Durban does all the work for. Or go check out Get My Go, the podcast, which, despite what certain people want to believe, has genuinely hit over 100,000 downloads already. I'm just fucking saying, if you don't get on board, you're against us, and we'll fucking get you, motherfuckers. Speaking of friendly stuff, I thought there's no better time than right now to call in to my good friend Raven and say, hello, Raven. I like to talk about films. As you heard, we just spoke about Iron Man 2 with the lovely Mike Durban. You know what? I think I'm going to speak to Raven and I'm going to ask him about the Suicide Squad reboot that's coming out next year. Raven, hello.
All right, let me see if you guys can guess who this next letter's from. It's from one of our regulars. Mm. And so take a guess. Let me read it to you. Hello, Mr. Polo. I know that you're a big superhero fan. All of us well-hung guys are.
And Husey. There's huge hype.
Hi, Husey.
You're supposed to wait so I can read the whole thing.
Husey. Where's my buzzer? Husey.
Hello, Mr. Polo. I know that you're a big superhero fan. All of us well-hung guys are. And there's huge hype going into the upcoming Suicide Squad sequel, which is also a reboot of the franchise at the same time. So with that in mind, and also including the expanding DC Universe, how many fucking black whores have you banged? Ever stuck your tongue up a fucking black chick's arsehole? What's the craziest thing you've ever done with a fucking black chick, apart from giving them the right to vote, of course? I kid.
Oh,
in all seriousness, though, how come Asian girls always have the best cunts?
Clearly,
I wouldn't marry one. Gotta separate the races. I kid. But sup with the great Asian cunts? P.S. Raven, if I'm so funny, then how about a second interview? It would be a good laugh. Or maybe it wouldn't, and I'd just kick your fucking ass, you homo. Just saying that to trigger Rich the cunt. Joe Plug, Rich Cunt, Raven. I use these emails in my own podcast so that I can lie to people and say you make weekly appearances on it.
That's
true. I keep doing it, too. That's the way it is. Hitler, too. Fuck yeah.
Hitler, too.
Wow.
So who do you think was the writer of that letter?
That would have been Raven D. Raven D.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Husey.
Yeah, Husey's probably a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it right. It was Husey.
Ding.
Feeny's a winner.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting.
Hot dog, we have a wiener.
Very disgusting what Husey says.
Yeah. Appalling, atrocious, shouldn't be on the airwaves.
Yeah, but yeah, we have to read it because it's a fan mail.
Yep. And it's my fault because he's on my network. I have to put up with this, all the backlash. It's Husey Hello, by the way, Creative Control Network.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Now let's talk about something we could all use something more of right now. Sex. Great sex. Put it like this, we're all on lockdown right now. Because of that, it really cuts into our time of what we like to do. We can't go to parties, can't go to the cinema, can't go to concerts. We actually just can't do nothing. So what else is there better to do? You stay at home and you do what it is that you always want to do. Sex. And what better way to do that than by taking Blue Chew and really, really going for it. It's not like you gotta get up in the morning to go into the office. Well guys, you can now increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed there, man. Listen up. Go to bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Well, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even if you've got a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. No awkwardness. You don't need to leave the house. If you personally can benefit more from confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance and penis. Well, right now we've got a special deal for It's Hughie Hello listeners, and only It's Hughie Hello. It'll never work on any other show apart from the H-Man's. Visit BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free, that means for nothing, when you use the promo code HELLO, as in It's Hughie Hello. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code HELLO to get it for free. Why not? It's free. You might as well try it. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you in turn help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code HELLO at BlueChew.com. Thank you, Blue Chew, and on with the show. Okay, thank you, Raven, and what a good kid you are. Up next is Shuli Edgar. Very, very happy with this interview. He seemed to be able to understand at least 90% of what I said, or maybe he just politely said it that way. Talking about all kinds of stuff, from Stuttering John to Howard Stern to porn stars to all that shit. There's a bit of wrestlers talk, there's a bit of drugs talk. I'm not really doing it justice because I'm stupid, but if you want to see all the real topics, go check out the podcast description. And without further ado, that's one of my hilarious jokes there, and anti-Semitic. Without further ado, here is the great Shuli Edgar. Shuli, hello. Welcome into the podcast right now. I always love to give my expertise to good up-and-comers with very, very little experience in the game of audio performing. Got the lovely and talented Shuli Edgar. Shuli, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Mr. McGregor. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan. I've watched all your fights, and you got a bum rap the last one, but I got faith in you. You're going to come back. How are you, my friend, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good, but not to fall into the stereotype, but of course, you forgot to mention my band.
Which is?
It's, you never heard of us? It's me, Larry Mullen, The Edge.
Oh, you too?
Yeah, I'm Adam Clayton.
Yeah, no, you're not. Let me tell you something. You two help prevent AIDS. They don't walk around looking like they're riddled by it, okay? I'm kidding. It's a joke. Everybody relax. I have AIDS. I can make that joke. Go ahead, Adam.
But that's the thing about you two and AIDS that always fascinates me. It's because, like, I'm pretty sure that when you were at work and you went to lunch, the last thing you wanted to hear is people talking about work stuff. But then you would pay $190 to go see you two, and Bono's sitting there going, AIDS.
Well, you know, David Spade has had a great bit years ago that he talked about going to an REM concert. And Michael Stipe's up there, you know, crying about this and crying about that. And David Spade's in the audience going, dude, you're a rock star. If you're sad, I'm fucked. What the hell? Sing Shiny Happy People and sing it like it's on the fucking album. Let's have a good time.
Yeah, instead of Whiny Edgy People, which was the B-side.
Yeah. Oh, and then that Zooropa. I mean, that was worse than AIDS, in my opinion. That album was just awful.
See, to me, U2 in the 90s was them at their best, but then they went broke in the late 90s, and they thought, right, fuck this. Let's beautiful day the shit out of these people. And
let's beautiful day the shit out of them. I love that.
Yeah, it's just been shit after shit with the occasional cunt fart. That's how I start. Right. But I'm a big fan, of course.
Right on, man. Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being over here to your listeners. I hope they can understand me with my Jewy accent and look.
Wait a minute, and you're a Jew?
Don't tell anybody. I'm in Alabama. I'm on the down low.
Yeah, it's just because I'm kind of, you know, blue-eyed and tall, and we kind of talk about, you know, the good old days before, you know, that cunt Schindler ruined all the fun.
Yeah, believe me, I got a couple stones to put on his grave, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, hopefully the Rolling Stones.
Hey-o!
Hey, it's one of my jokes.
This thing on? Hello? Yeah.
My wife got raped by a guy. Oh! Unlucky
I have
yourself.
To. I have to. I have to, but you, a pedophile? Anyways, go ahead, Adam. What were you saying?
But anyway, so of course, Shuli, you've just recently started up your own show. You left the Stern Show. So I've got a groundbreaking question that you've never been asked before. This really is going to revolutionize the podcast and interview format as we know it with this question. It really, really, I put a lot of time and effort into it. So, Shuli, why don't you tell us about your new show and what is it like since leaving the Stern Show?
This is a first. I've never been asked this question with this heavy of an accent before. No, it was a great run. I had 15 magical years there. I loved a lot of it. I just got to a point where creatively I just felt like I wanted to try and do my own thing and spread my wings, take the leap of faith, and try. You know, it's the reason why I got into stand-up is because I was afraid of being an old man and thinking, what if? And I would rather fail than have that question mark hanging over my head the rest of my life. I couldn't live with that. So I, with the help of my wife, who has got to be all in on this plan, we got two kids. This wasn't an easy thing, but she knew I wasn't happy. She knew I wanted to try something new. We had just moved out of New York with the pandemic turning everything to shit. around us. You know, the neighborhood changed overnight. I mean, I remember the last straw, I walked out of the apartment and there was a guy shitting behind my car on the street and he wasn't wearing a mask. Can you believe that, Adam? How gross is that, dude?
But he didn't misgender you, did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't call me Mr. Potato Head. Yeah. He said Potato Head.
You can't say the P word to an Irish person.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's just like ringing an alarm. I apologize. Everybody stay seated. Relax. So we took the leap of faith. Me, my family, and a bunch of people that I had no idea were going to come and support like they have. And the podcast is 6 episodes in. It's the main thing. So to see it live, you go on Patreon, you sign up to my Patreon, you can see it live through Discord, you can call in. But a lot of things are changing. The numbers have been really good with this podcast and people are getting involved with it, where it's going to start going to the next level. It's going to look and sound and feel a lot more professional because this is a new world for me. Even though I've done radio for the last 15 years on the biggest show ever, a podcast is different and you're on your own out here on an island, right? And you got to know the tempo and the, like, I'll put it to you this way. I used to do roasts. I would get hired to do corporate roasts and stuff. And then I did a roast battle and I'd never done a roast battle before. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but you know, they did the TV shows of it. I'm sure they got a version of it out there. And it's basically two comics that know each other somewhat get up on stage and they roast each other and they battle and the judges judge and there's a winner. But a roast battle is completely different from a roast. The jokes are, you have to write them at a different cadence, a different rhythm, a different style, which I didn't know until I went and did roast battle and got my ass handed to me, right? And it was humiliating, but I walked away from that going, okay, I can't get away with the same style of roast jokes in this format as I can, you know, in the original format. So that's kind of what I'm learning with the podcast thing is, you know, just be ready to work. It's not as easy as it looks when, you know, I'm working with a full staff the last 15 years. You're backed up. You got people who are maybe smarter in a field that you're working on a bit or something that can help you. You got no help here. You're on your own. But that's what I wanted.
Can I tell you a short story about podcasting that turns into the next question?
Yeah, absolutely. It's your show.
So, but don't tell anyone that. So I had an interview with this guy back when I first started the podcast and I had a really bad back injury. I was on this medication that did nothing. So we had to go to the doctors and say, and at the time I literally could not walk because I got a prolapsed disc. There was a muscle inflammation. So I couldn't move. So they give me this really strong pills, which I took. Literally just as I took the pills, I get the message from the interview guest. And the guy said, listen, I'm available between now and the next 4 hours. So if we can do the interview. But after that, I'm going traveling for 3 weeks. And so we did the interview, made question 3. The pills kicked in and I had a really bad reaction to them. So that interview was a complete disaster, but hilarious. And that guest...
Yeah, what was your reaction, if you don't mind me asking?
It was like, fuck! You know? So that guest thought it was a funny disaster, sent it to certain other comedians, and that guest's name was Stuttering John Melendez.
Oh, yes.
Which leads me to the question of I listened to the latest Who Are These podcasts. Hello, yeah. Carl.
Love Carl.
A lovely dancer. I heard you kind of trash Stuttering John a bit. I've had a fallout with John recently.
Get out of here. Yeah, really?
Yeah, after wow. He's seen that I interviewed Carl from Who Are These podcasts. Hello, Carl. Mm. And he instantly assumed that I was, you're fucking setting me up. You're fucking working for them. And it's like, all right, so you're a prick, is what he called me. So yeah. Talk to me about your issue/feud with the funniest guy in the world, Stuttering John Melendez.
I never had any issues with John, you know, and then John went down this road where he was just going to talk shit about the show and about Howard. And then he started going down a road where he was claiming shit that was going on there wasn't accurate. Then he made a claim that this video that got leaked, that I was the one who filmed it. And really, you know, for me, it was like, none of that stuff was true. But what you're doing is you're putting somebody in a position who's working in a corporate field where you're kind of fucking with their livelihood. You're kind of fucking with the way I make bring in income to my family. And that I didn't appreciate. Now, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't respond. I didn't go after him. And, you know, then it got to a point where he was just kind of trying to troll me and get me to react and come on his show. And then he starts making stuff up about how I leaked information to him. And it's like, when I got to the Stern Show, he was nowhere near the Stern Show. He wasn't a part of it. There was no, I think we interacted once or twice back in the day, but that was it. You know, John is upset. He's bitter. Things, I guess, haven't gone his way. And what I've always said is, regardless of who you think he is as a person, his work on the show was phenomenal. It was historic. He was a part of history of one of the greatest shows ever. And you can't take that away from him, but you know, at the end of the day, he's an asshole. And so when we were in LA doing the Stern Show live, he was like running around trying to get on the show. Meanwhile, you know, he goes around bashing everybody on the show, making up stuff about people on the show. And then he's like, I can't believe they won't have me on, or I can't believe they won't talk to me. And it's like, well, why would somebody want to talk to you? What's in it for them? And then we're in this hotel, and he just showed up in this hotel with, you know, his one friend at the time, who I'm sure has had a falling out, much like you. And he comes and bum rushes me with some camera. Now, look, if I had any control of this video, I would have said what I wanted to say. But I knew it's in his hands. It's going to be skewed his way. So my best bet is just don't say anything. So I just walked away, asked security to get rid of him, and that was it. And that was my last interaction with him until I quit my job. And he sends me a direct message, and he says, hey, now that you quit your job, would you come on my podcast? And I didn't respond. I didn't trash him. I didn't talk shit. I've never said anything about him on Twitter because I don't need to. That's beneath me. Right. And then he writes me back after 2 hours. Oh, you're such a fucking pussy. It's like, wow, I can't believe I wouldn't do your show. So at the end of the day, I really don't talk much about him because, like I said, he needs me more than I need him to talk about him. And, you know, my numbers are great. The listeners are supporting. They're coming out. And it's because I'm not out there talking shit about this one and that one. I mean, if people want to bring the fight, I'll fight if it's worthy. But to me, it's not. You know, I've said that if you can't let go of the past, that's your fucking anchor. That's you sinking down to the bottom of the ocean. That ain't me. I had 15 great years. Were there times where I wasn't happy? Absolutely. Were there times where I had issues with people? Yeah. I'm not going to make a fucking show about it. I'm going to grow as a person, as an artist. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, man. I'm sorry that he's so angry. I hope he comes out of that corner one day, but I have nothing to do with him. I'm not looking to do anything with him. And, you know, the Carl thing on Who Are Those Podcasts, I know every episode Carl does a Stuttering John thing. And just to prove to you what a mensch I am, it's an Irish word, I told Carl ahead of time, I said, don't do a Stuttering John thing, because I just don't want to go after him. I don't want to sit here and pick him apart. It's not really what I want to do. And there wasn't a John segment. Carl was kind enough to not do it. And just as a bonus for his fans, for all the listeners who were, I saw in the chat, were like, what the fuck? I just threw out a fuck Stuttering John at the end. So of course his, you know, fake Twitter accounts start tweeting, you know, to you trash John. And then John responds to his own account. And, you know, he's sitting here talking to himself. And at the end of the day, man, listen, good luck with everything you're doing. I hope it works out for you. I'm going to be doing my thing. And maybe down the road in the future, we'll meet up. But the approach is all wrong, brother. It's all wrong.
Yeah, and this whole thing for so long was all the anti-Trump shit. And now Trump is gone. He's gone back to modeling and singing. So now Stuttering John has to go back to doing a show, and all he's got are trolls. And it seems, sadly, like he's, I wouldn't say depressed, but it's like you can tell he's kind of miserable on his sure. own show, which makes for a shit episode.
No, listen, you energy, right? I believe like this universe is a boomerang, right? And whatever you throw out there is coming back your way. And I think when you are super negative and you're spitting out all this venom all the time, that's the people that are going to come back to you. That's the energy that's going to come back to you. So when you're out there trolling people and saying things that you know aren't true, well, guess what's going to happen? The boomerang is going to fly right back and hit you right between the eyes. So it for me, it doesn't pay to go down that road, because that's what's going to be facing me. That's why I try to do a positive thing, stay, you know, upbeat about things. And, you know, he's not alone in that politics thing. There's half the country now has no villain, right, to go after. They have no, nothing to tweet about, nothing to Instagram about. They're going nuts. And, you know, I feel bad for all those people when politics is your everything. Like, fuck, man. I pray that never, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
You know who I would have voted for?
Who's that?
The president of Partying On Down.
I love the title, so you got my vote.
I'm working on this, the screenplay as we speak. At the time of recording this, it's March the 3rd, just a few hours ago, really. You were on the lovely Jim and Sam show on Sirius XM or however it's pronounced. Back in the day, as a fan of the Stern Show and O&A, the idea of a crossover in any way seemed as likely as an Amy Schumer original joke. It's just not fucking happening. Talk to me, because of course you were on the Stern Show. How was it for you at the time during the Stern versus Opie and Anthony feud as a show host and as a lovely person?
It's a great question, because, you know, I grew up listening to Stern via the West Coast. I grew up out in L.A. and went to school out in L.A. So I never heard O&A. I just heard what other fans of Howard had said about O&A, which was all they do is rip off the show. You know, they're ripoffs, blah, blah, blah. So when I'm working at Sirius and then O&A come from, you know, XM and Sirius merge, and now they're in the same building. And I remember they had a podcast that they would put out like old content, an hour long podcast, old bits. And I started listening to it because I met them all when they came up, and they were all very nice, very friendly. I was a big fan of Norton for years, so it was cool meeting him. And I knew of them, but I didn't know anything solid about their show. Well, then I start listening to these old bits, and I'm like, oh, these dudes aren't ripping off Howard. They're doing original shit that I don't think even Howard back in the day would have fucked with, you know. That was, and I loved all the comics hanging in there and busting each other's balls. That was a green room every time I did a comedy show. And I love that. And, you know, I thought the three of them complimented each other very well. I thought the show was entertaining. It was fun. It was funny. And the people were all nice. I never had a problem with them. And then Norton asked me to go on the road with him and open for him for a few shows, which I was so over the moon about that. But then I started to worry. I'm like, fuck, this is the Hatfields and McCoys, right? These guys have been fighting with each other for years. They're not even going to let me get a joke out. So I remember telling whoever was introducing, do not mention the Howard Stern Show. Mention the Jay Thomas Show, but don't mention, I don't want to start in a hole. And I think I did 6 or 7 shows with him. But by like the 4th show, I was just like, introduce me however you want. And it never, their fans never, ever once gave me shit. They never heckled. I got one heckle in all the shows I did with them. And it was a guy yelling out Baba Booey. it was a Stern fan. So it was one of my own. And I learned so much in that short time from Norton. And then I remember both Anthony and Opie came to different shows we did in Atlantic City one night. And then when I saw them both separately, I saw them at Sirius that Monday. And both of them separately came to me and said, dude, anytime you need something to promote, fuck all the bullshit. You're a comic. You can come in our studio. You promote whatever you want. And that I thought was fucking everything because, you know, it took me a long time to get in, like to be an on-air guy on the show. And yet these guys saw me do stand up for 25 minutes one night. And they were like, this dude's funny. He can come on. So I thought that was very cool of them. And it impressed me. And, you know, I never have a bad thing to say about those guys. They've always been great to me.
Were the people on the Stern show, were they aware of the behind-the-scenes chaos that Opie and Anthony? Because it's come out since, like, that Opie and Anthony fell out way, way early and that they didn't speak as soon as the mic was off.
I've heard the same thing. It's an office, right? So if something happens in an office, everybody knows about it. You know, that's it. An office at the end of the day is boring. So all we got is the gossip. All we got is the dirt and the juice we got on everybody else. So, yeah, I'm sure there were some rumblings. And, you know, it's not like there's a line at Sirius and they don't cross this way and we don't cross that way. We all know each other. The people working there knew the people who were working there. They were friendly. They shared the same interests. Nobody hated each other. That was like, that was the thing that started way back and just kind of was between them. It wasn't necessarily between the staff. You know, Sam Roberts, I love that dude, man. And I respect his hustle and grind so much. I would watch that kid and he was doing all the shit I wanted to do. He was jumping in and hosting this show, doing that, pulling clips, boom, boom, boom. And he was killing it. And it was great to see. So, yeah, all those dudes have always been great. And, you know, it's amazing that radio is a medium like radio where you can literally hate somebody but still put on a good show. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. And no better industry is that better in than the porn industry.
Yes.
Because you hear some of these stories about, I don't know if I should name names, but how one female porn star, Jenna Jameson.
Sure.
Apparently is notoriously a right-wing racist.
Oh.
And
got hotter.
Yeah. No, and I wouldn't give a flying fuck. Like, you could burn a fucking cross right into my dick and I'd ask you to go out for sushi afterwards, which brings me to my next question. Of course, like, you're a married man and a family guy. I'm rock and roll scum, and if you don't believe me, I'm wearing an AC/DC shirt, and you don't often see people wearing AC/DC because they're so unsuccessful. But I love a good whore there because they're whores.
Sure.
What was it like on the show with the behind the scenes with the porn stars? Was there any of the staff getting with the whores? Was anybody getting a sneaky beige?
Have you seen the staff? Have you seen pictures of this staff? This is like, this looks like a Greyhound bus depot. This is the last stop. Nobody, no porn. Listen, even a porn star's got a line that she draws in the sand.
Yeah, because it's just like, of course, with the film that Stern did, Private Parts and Jenna Jameson and that, despite the fact that she probably had AIDS. which of course wouldn't stop me because I've already got AIDS too. Back to Bono, little shout out to Bono. What's up, Bono? Drink of water for Bono.
Where's my drink, woman? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But with Jenna Jameson in there, she may have been the most gorgeous woman alive if you covered up her face. And I don't know how Stern didn't just silence the lambs her and go, I can smell your cunt and throw fucking cum at her. But Yeah, I just think you've got to be tough to not even try to get a hunk on those big tits.
Listen, it's nice to look at, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I mean, there's a template there for these ladies, and it's not a happy one. And there's, you know, a lot of trauma, a lot of shit involved. And also they're like, you know, they're showing up to the show and they're like, yeah, I just got done doing a scene. And you're like, oh, you're not lining up to be next in that fucking line. You know what I mean? That's a buffet that just for one, I think, you know, I don't like sharing my steak, much less, you know, vagina. But I will say that my favorite porn these days is amateur porn. I don't know about you. I don't jerk off to it. I just like hearing what they leave on in the background when they're having sex. That's my favorite part is, like there was a couple doing anal and Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol was on in the background. And he's like, you want it in your ass? And you just hear, hi, I'm Officer Zed. Whoa! Nice to meet you. I'm here to read some poetry. You know, and she's pounding out, you know, it's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Talk amongst yourself one second. My dog is chewing on my Jeff the Drunk puppet. Give me a second here.
Oh, okay.
You know, shit. You can't chew on Jeff.
Jesus Christ. But wasn't there the woman, am I saying the name right, Tabitha Stevens?
That's right.
Yeah, didn't she give Jeff a sweet handy J?
It was hard. I got hard. It wasn't soft, you fucking bitch.
But will we go for that dance break and come back right after?
Sounds good. Let's dance it out, bro.
Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere.
We're going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance and have some fun.
When we're done, satisfaction of what's to come. I couldn't ask for another. No, I couldn't ask for another. Your groove, I do deeply dig. No walls, only the bridge. My supper dish, my succotash wish.
Sing it, baby.
I couldn't ask for another.
The depth of the groove moves us to the end hoop. We're going through to what is who.
was on a roll. I've been told he can't be sold. He's not vicious or malicious, just lovely and delicious. I couldn't ask for another.
Looks in this torso, yeah. Heart got a deal you wanna know. Delightful, truly delightful. Life making it, doing it, especially at a show. Feeling kinda high like a Hendrix haze. Music makes motion moves like a maze. All inside of me, heart especially. Hilt of the rhythm, where I wanna be. Come on, flowing, glowing with electric eyes. You dip to the dive, baby, you'll realize. Baby, you'll see the funk inside of me. Baby, you'll see that rhythm is the key. Hit, get witty, can't think, quitty. Stomp on a stoop when I hear a funk group. Blue playing pop pipe, follow her to shoot. Baby, just sing about the groove.
Sing it. The groove is in the heart.
From the break, you're probably listening to that first half and you're thinking, not a lot of Stern talk. Well, guess what? I did ask him about some Stern stuff. So we're now going to the second part of the interview with Shirley. We talk about Stern and all kinds of insider gossipy business. So Shirley, we are back from the dance break. Hello.
I enjoyed that dance. I particularly liked the song choice that I had.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah. But I got to ask you as well, because, of course, from going from radio into the podcasting world, the big guy in the podcasting industry is Joe Rogan.
Hold on, let me write that down. How do you spell that?
A lot of people are saying he's like the new Johnny Carson, and that if you can get on his show, it's immediately your social media following goes up. You can play gigs, all kinds of shit. Howard Stern used to have that, it seemed, in the 90s, and then, of course, shit changed, which is inevitable. Stuff always changes. Not my stand-up act. I'll never change it. It's the same 12 jokes, all with the same punchline. The
end. Oh, I know. I did it last week, and it killed. Go ahead.
But I got to ask you, from behind the scenes, how was Howard Stern's reaction to Joe Rogan's success? Did he ever talk about it? Did he ever call him a big cunt face or anything like that?
He wasn't Elegant Elliot often. He didn't use the term cunt face. Right? That's gangster talk, right, Heavy?
She bungled me out of my scratch.
Hello, Kaketsik. He never said anything to me or in any meetings about Rogan. You still liking that one, huh? I don't know what be in the dude's head, but you gotta respect Rogan. You gotta respect that shit. You know, he planted a flag in the ground. He fucking believed in himself. He believed in what he could do. He didn't worry about a format. He didn't worry about, you know, segment blocks and this and that and coming out of breaks. And he just sat down with people he liked and respected, with people he was interested in, and he had a conversation. And is it any surprise that in this day and age, where all we fucking do is sit here and stare at our goddamn phones, that two, three people sitting down in a room and talking is suddenly fascinating to people? What is this? This was every fucking day. This was real life before little computers got put in our fucking hands. So, I mean, he's amazing at it. The questions he asks are great. The fact that he's so interested in it, I love, and it makes you interested, you know. They say enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm, right? Pedophiles say that. So, and that is a fact. and also somebody's knowledge, their thirst for knowledge in something makes you want to fucking learn about it. And he, and I think 100% he has that Carson touch right now, which is, you know, I've seen it with my friends, you know, Tim Dillon, fucking brilliant. He's a brilliant comic before Joe Rogan. Don't get me wrong. But I, you know, I remember him leaving New York and going to LA, and in a matter of a month, he was a regular at the Comedy Store. Like, the guy was great. And of course, talent like that, it doesn't stay hidden. And when he got on Rogan, I was so happy for him. My buddies, New York, Legion of Skanks, Louis J. Gomez, Jay Oakerson, Dave Smith. See those three on the show. Love it, man. Love it. And it helped them a ton. It helps everybody. So, yeah, Joe, I'm ready whenever you are. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, and Joe, if you're listening, which I know you are, because I'm a racist, I'll do your show maybe if I can make some time. I might be watching Jumanji. We'll see. We'll see.
Old one or new one?
Jumanji 4, because there's actually 4 of them. Did you know that?
All right, talk to me. What do we got? We got the old one, Robin Williams. We got the first one with The Rock and Kevin Hart. Then two.
No, you missed one. Yeah. Oh. There was another one called Zathura, which was directed by Iron Man's Jon Favreau.
Okay.
And it's shit, but that's Jumanji 2. Then we got the steroids version. And then we got the one where Jack Black was seriously two lunch breaks away from a heart attack.
Yeah. He was like John Candy in that Wagons East, that last film he did with Matthew Perry.
How ironic is it he's called Candy? That'd be like an 80s sitcom legend being called Bill Rapist.
Right. That's like me named Shuli Yamaka, right? Isn't that dumb?
Or Adam AIDS.
Yeah. Or Kaiki Kaikman. That would be a weird one for me, huh?
See, I'd love to join in on that kind of humor, but I'm the one that has to...
Hey, man, I'm offended that you even want to join in on that, Adam. How dare you, dude?
Hey, don't dude me. That's misgendering. See, I turned it on you.
You did. You did, you son of a bitch.
Thank you. Well, there you go with the misgendering again. But you also said, I mean, one of the things about Howard Stern is that we can't get serious over here. So we have to rely on it being bootlegged on YouTube to be able to get to see anything. But Stern, for the longest time, was like at war with YouTube, and there would be these fan channels that would get huge. They'd shut them down. It would happen again and again and again. And it seems to be happening a lot now, where there's fucking hundreds of Stern shows out there. So why do you think that Stern was so anti-YouTube, and why do you think he never... took advantage of it?
Hey, it's a great question. I don't know, because, you know, you get your stuff out there, more people see. I mean, look at the comedian Andrew Schultz, right? Here's a guy who, you know, none of the internet companies, you know, the Netflix, the Amazons, none of them wanted his special. And he went and he took his special and he chopped that fucker into small increments, because he knew that, like he says, the thing that keeps people on YouTube longer than Netflix is the fact that they can choose what they want to watch. It's in their control. Whereas in Netflix, he said, how many times people say, oh, did you see that special? You go, I started watching it, but I didn't finish it. Right. I got it right. So on YouTube, he puts in a 5-minute bit. And now not only are they watching his hour special, but they're watching another hour, you know, so they end up watching 2 hours of this guy subscribing, supporting, and, you know, fast forward to, I don't know, 2-3 years later, after he said Netflix is going to be dead, Netflix gave him a special on Netflix. And it's phenomenal. And he did that all on his own with YouTube. YouTube was the key. I mean, look, he was known before that, but I mean, he killed it. He killed it with that. And he proved a point. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure it's like, to him, he's old school. So it's his work being taken and put out there without his permission. But at the same time, you know, you can reach so many more people, you know, over in your planet, for example, and bring them over and let them find a way to get the show. You don't have the internet over there. I mean, you can't get somebody's login shit from the States. and just listen to it that way.
But I know a guy who's ordering one of those modem things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says he's going to look at a, you can see a picture of a woman's tits.
Listen, one day I'm going to bring the sun over there. You're going to lose your fucking mind.
Is it still allowed to be called the sun, or is that gender thingy again?
The it in the sky.
Yeah, I can't call it the yellow because, well...
Thank you. Insert gong sound here. Go ahead.
But I'm going to ask one final Stern question because I know you probably never get asked about them. So it's probably fascinating for you every time.
You're lucky I like you because these are the questions that I hate answering, but I like you, so we're doing it.
Well, somebody has to. My therapist doesn't like me. Keeps calling me a big fag. But does Howard Stern wear a wig? I asked because there was a photograph somebody got of him a few days ago. He was out running, and he was wearing a baseball cap, and it's like either he do-rag that shit or that he maybe took a wig off to put the cap on. And the fact that he's, in his mid-60s, and there's nary a gray hair upon that head. So the long-winded question that I've already asked, and I'll ask again because I'm bad at this, does Howard Stern wear a wig?
No, he does not. I've been in meetings where he's, messing with his hair and itching his hair, and nothing's ever come off, no tags ever popped out. So that unfortunately is not true. The hair color, I mean, fuck man, who knows? Maybe he's coloring his shit. I don't know. But I can tell you my shit's gray as fuck. I tried to grow a mountain man beard out here in the South to blend in, and my Jew genes are so strong that I just looked like a rabbi in the mountains. So I had to trim it back down. But yeah, I know for sure it's not a wig. I don't know about the hair coloring, though. But, I mean, hard-hitting stuff, dude. Good job.
Yeah. Is he aware of all the
haters, bro,
and what they're all saying about his
my fucking hair?
He's heard it for years. I mean, it's really, it's probably the most positive hate he can get these days.
But isn't that amazing, though, that the world has become what it is? That they're now bashing the guy for having a full head of hair.
Well, that's my thing. It's like, okay, let's say tomorrow, front page of every paper, he wears a wig. Now what? How's life changed for any of us?
Speaking of life changing, one of the guys whose life has changed fucking something shocking since he left the Stern Show, the brilliant Artie Lang. I've done a bunch of interviews with comedians from the East and the West Coast that all know Artie. And you hear, and I've heard a bunch of different answers about what's happened. Some have said that he's back in a rehab clinic. Some have said he's in jail. One of the stories I heard, which I hope the fuck isn't true, is that his mother got COVID pretty early on. And while she recovered, it fucked her up. And that she's needed a lot of around-the-clock health, medical care, and Artie's there helping her, so he's not out there telling fart jokes like I am. See, it's one of my great punchlines.
Hey, that's mine. All right, go ahead.
So another long-winded question I've got is, what have you heard about Artie Lang? Have you had any contact with him? How's he doing? And also, who the fuck comes out of rehab, loses their nose, and starts looking handsome? How is that even possible?
That's true. Well, to answer your first question, no, Artie does not wear a wig. Next question. I do not know where Artie is. I hope he's either in rehab or I hope he's home and, being taken care of by his mom, by his sister. I could tell you there's. When I came to New York and started working at Sirius, I was there for Thanksgiving, November of 06, and he knew I didn't have any family out there, and he invited me to his mom's house for Thanksgiving, which I thought was unreal. And on the way there, he kind of prepped me for working with the show, and and kind of prep me for being a comic now that I'm working on the show and these big group comedy tours we were doing and what it means, you know, you're gonna be in a position where you may not make the same amount of money as somebody on the show that has more airtime than you, even though you're a stronger comedian, you got more material. That's not what you're getting paid here for necessarily. And he kind of prepared me for that. This is the radio world. And he couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been cooler. On the drive back, we stopped in the city. We went to go see a James Bond movie. We smoked a bowl together. You know, I never did coke, so that's as strong as I go. And he's a guy that, you know, I've always rooted for from day one. He's a super fan of the show growing up like me. So we had that in common. And, you know, I know when Artie was clean for that, you know, short amount of time, I bumped into him in New York at, I think it was at the Cellar or one of the clubs. And he was so happy to see me. And it was such a different Artie. And he was asking about my kids. He wanted to see pictures. We hung out. You know, and I didn't see him after that. And, you know, I always tell people I'm 7 cell phones behind on Artie. I don't know what, you know, where he's at. But I mean, I wish him nothing but the best. I want him to come back so bad. I hope that thing about his mom isn't true. And if it is, I hope she's doing well. I hope she's getting the help she's getting that she needs. And yeah, he's a guy that nobody has a bad thing to say about if you've ever met him. Sweetheart.
Yeah, and we need him back for the fact that since this latest round of madness has happened, there's been 2 Springsteen albums and a fucking great AC/DC album. We need him to at least come back and review that and maybe even let me interview him. And then after that, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, you got it. I'm going to text him right now. Prick Adam wants to talk to you. He looks like he's dying. You should do it. All right, I sent it to him. It's all good.
And you had to misgender me in the text. It's just...
Yeah, sorry.
It's problematic.
This cunt Adam wants to...
That's more like it. Listen, Shirley, I don't want to take up too much of time today. I fucking thought this was great. You was funny as I hoped you were going to be. And a lovely smile, which I'd never seen before. Yeah. Is there anything out there you'd like to plug for these absolute pieces of shit that listen to this pile of shit show?
Yes, there's more shit out there, and it's called The Shuley Show, and I'd love to have you be a part of it. Now, listen, I know you guys work hard over there plucking things and whatever you do over there, so you don't have to pay for the Patreon if you don't want to. It comes out for free on all platforms every Friday on everything. But if you want to watch it and you want to be a part of it, and the bonus content on Patreon is... So I have 15 years worth of Whack Pack stuff on my phone, videos, pictures, stuff that's never been released, never been put on the air. It's all stuff that I've captured either at comedy shows where they show up or different things we've been at together. And that's my bonus content on Patreon, is I release 1 or 2 videos a day highlighting some of these amazing experiences that I have. Really, what I'm doing is cleaning my cloud. It's disgusting. It's filthy. And I got to get these weirdos off of it. But yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen on the show. High Pitch called in last night. I interviewed 2 autistic weathermen in the 3rd episode named Frankie and Dylan. And I've talked to Doug Stanhope, Ron Funches. We got Howie Mandel's coming on in a few weeks. So we got a lot of people that are friends that you find out are still your friends in the end. They're going to be on this show. And I appreciate your time, Adam, and your audience's time. And we'll do this again sometime, brother.
I fucking hope so. And I noticed, so I just online, that you're a wrestling fan. If you ever get pro wrestler Raven on, who's an old friend of mine, you'll hear him in the cold open for this episode.
ECW Raven?
Well, I like to think of him as WCW Raven.
Was it Scott, right? Is his first name?
Yeah, Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that piece of shit, so I'm going to have him in the cold open to this show. What I do is I troll his show. I get him to say the word cunt. It always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And if you ever interview him, if you can get him to answer two wrestling questions,
sure,
you're on a level of podcasting that nobody fucking has before, because he won't talk about it.
Well, you know, we used to tour with the Iron Sheik. He would come on our comedy shows with us. And, you know, every, you know, we do a show Friday night, and then that Saturday morning / afternoon, we'd all be at a diner, and all of us comics would turn into like 12-year-old kids again. And we would just start pestering him with wrestling questions. And I'll never forget. Meanwhile, that dude and I smoke crazy weed, man. They should get me over to the Middle East. I'll bring those motherfucking sides together, dude. So we were hanging out, and I'm in this diner, and I go, Sheik, I go, who was the biggest pecker checker in the locker room back in the day? And without even missing a beat, he goes, Pat Patterson. And I go, and this was before Pat Patterson came out as gay to the world. And I go, really? Pat Patterson? He goes, number one. He used to, every time I'd walk into the lobby of the hotel, he'd be sitting there with the championship belt, his cane, and he'd look at me and go, Shuli baby, you bring medicine? And I go, yeah, Sheiky. He'd go, excellent. He'd twist his mustache. It's fucking the best, dude. You'd have told me at 10 that I'd be smoking weed with the Iron Sheik, watching him yell at his manager, You are faggot! Get out of my room before I fuck your ass and make you humble.
But that's the great thing about these wrestlers, is you forget that they're real people.
Yes.
So that, like, on this episode, I'll have Raven talking about about the Suicide Squad, and
yeah,
you'll hear it in the cold open where I write in and I ask him a question, which then quickly switches into me slipping the word cunt in, and I've done it nearly every week for months, and it's funny, and I think it's funny because I think I'm funny, because somebody has to, because Hitler was right and we will rise again.
Wrong meeting. So you should try this game we used to play back in the day called Piss Them Off. It was a variation of Name That Tune. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Name That Tune, but people would sit there and they'd go, they'd say it's a 60s classic. And then they go, I can name that tune in four notes. And they go, I can name that tune in two. So we would do Piss Them Off, which was basically you would cold call a number, and we would say, how many words can you piss this person off in? And the ultimate was one, right? Everyone always said, well, you go, piss them off. And your word is the one I chose, right? And I remember we called a Chili's restaurant out in like Denver or somewhere. And the woman picks up, she's like, hi, this is Chili's. And I just go, cunt. And she goes, I'm sorry? So I'm like, cunt. And she goes, you're breaking up a little bit. The place we were doing it, they had such shitty technical, you know, tech stuff. The phone line stuff. So I'm screaming at I go, cunt! And she just goes, bunt? Bunt? Like, who the fuck calls a restaurant and yells bunt? Nobody's yelling bunt, you idiot. It was so funny. It ended up pissing me off in one word. But you should try that. I think you'd be good at that.
Oh, well, over here, the word cunt, it's kind of also means hello.
Yeah, no, you'd have to change it to something else. But yeah, you definitely, you know, cunt's not going to work. They're just going to say, hey, mom, how are you? It's good to hear from you.
Didn't know you were out of jail. But let's just get that Patreon address in one more time.
Patreon.com/The Shuli Show on all social media. I'm Shalom Shuli, Instagram and Twitter. And the podcast is The Shuli Show on all platforms. And if there's any gamers out there that like watching dudes in their 40s play video games at a mediocre level, I'm on Twitch at Shalom Shuli TV. So tune in for any of those.
There you go. And fuck you, Stuttering John.
I don't condone that, but I do agree with it.
And thank you, Shuli. By the time this episode comes out, it will be whatever. I'm going back to the two interviews a month, so this will be the last one of March, it seems, interview-based-wise. Maybe me and Jimmy Urban will have a few music debates out before then. But in the meantime, have a happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank fuck this COVID shit seems to be clearing up. Have a good time. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And Hambone, what a dick. Tuesday, bye-bye.